So as I share this morning and looking into Scripture, you get to know us a little bit. One of the things, I wanted you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to talk about God choosing His disciples. Now, you just met our family, and Becky told you, you know, a little bit about us leaving. I don't know why God chose me for this particular task. I am convinced there are many, many other men and women in the Church of Nazarene that could do this task and do it probably even better than I could do it. But what I am convinced of is that God chose me for this time, for this season, for whatever reason and purpose He has. And it's my desire to discover His purpose and to be obedient to what He would ask me to do. And I believe that's your desire, that's your hope, that whatever God would ask of you, that you would be willing, because God is a powerful, powerful God that knows what's best for us. And in Luke chapter 5, kind of the early parts, before we get to verse 27, people are hearing that Jesus, this man, this prophet, this man from Galilee, is doing incredible things. He's teaching, and everyone is amazed at His teaching. He's healing. And in fact, right before verse 27, there's this incredible story of the crowd that had gathered around to listen to Jesus teach in this home. And some friends had a friend that was paralyzed, and they wanted Jesus to heal. You remember that story? They got there to the house, and it was so packed, so they went up on the roof and cut a hole in the roof. Can you imagine that? And they lowered him down, and Jesus spoke, and the man got up and he walked. And so people were intrigued with this man named Jesus and what he was able to do. And so he began this process of calling people to follow after him. We call them disciples, followers of Christ. And what we are convinced of is that Jesus actually also calls us to be His follower and be willing to do whatever He might ask us to do. Whether it's move from Oklahoma to Illinois, or if it's to go and knock on the neighbor's door and to share the love of Christ. So hear this passage, Matthew 27, or chapter 5, verse 27. God calls Matthew. Let's read this together. Or you can listen to me as I read it. After this, Jesus went out and sat and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call sinners to repentance." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as we look at this passage, I just want to give you a few thoughts for you to think of, to think about as you go through this week, as you go through this life, because I believe Jesus has called every one of us to be His disciple, to be His followers. But this passage causes me to ask a couple of questions. And the first question is this: who are the Levites in our world? Who are the Levites? Now, in this text, Levi was a tax collector. Now, for the Jew, this was not a good thing. Some of you have probably watched The Chosen, the video series that's come out recently, and it's interesting to me the person who cast the show chose the Matthew or the Levi that they did. I wouldn't have pictured Levi in that way, but what I see is that in this process, Levi was a Jew who was not accepted by the Jews because he worked for the Roman government. And the Roman government was the enemy. And so anybody, no matter who they were, who worked for the Roman government, for the Jew was an enemy. But yet Jesus came to him and said to him, Levi, come and follow me. Now we, as followers of Jesus, Jesus living in us, in today's world, we often hear the idea that if we are going to be Christ followers, or maybe we hear it said this way, if anyone sees Jesus, they're going to see the Jesus in me. And so Jesus is going to use us to go into the midst of our world to the Levites. And who are the Levites that Jesus is going to use us to help call them to be his followers? Well, I think that the Levites are those that are not accepted by society. They're the outcasts. They're the ones that we kind of look at and go, oh man, I don't know that that's really the right kind of person to be in our church. I think of Becky mentioned Brett. Brett has great compassion. One of his greatest strengths is his compassionate heart. And there in Mustang, that was the church that we last pastored. We had a drive-through similar to your portico out here, and we were having an event on a December night, and it was kind of a cold night. And I don't remember exactly what it was. We probably were eating together, is my guess. That's tended to be what we did a lot of, is eat together. And Paul, the homeless man, had found our portico, and he had knocked on the door, even though it wasn't locked. He didn't feel comfortable walking into the deal, but someone went and said, he asked, can I spend the night under your porch? Well, the person in our church that answered the door initially said, well, I'll have to go get one of the pastors. And so they happened to connect with Brett. And Brett went out and began a conversation with Paul. And I'll just say to you, my first inclination is, you know, I'm not sure that having a homeless man sleep under our porch is probably a very good idea. I mean, that's my first response. That's probably the response for many of us. Is, you know, is that going to be safe? You know, what will people think? But Brett went to him and could tell that he was homeless. And he said, I tell you what, Paul, it's going to be cold tonight. And it's going to be pretty cold under this porch. I tell you what, I'll take you to our gym, and you can spend the night in the gym. And it's been an interesting process of Brett reaching out to Paul. I can't tell you that Paul's become a Christian. He lived in the gym for about 3 or 4 months. He would work around the gym, kind of earning his keep. He left. A year or two later, he came back and said, Brett, can I stay there? And Brett continued to work with him, tried to help him find a job. But the point being, Paul was a Levi kind of guy. And that most of us wouldn't have been comfortable sharing Jesus with him. But Brett said, my role as the follower of Christ is to reach out to Paul and to love on him and to care for him and to show him and teach him about Jesus. And I am convinced that Jesus is calling all of us within the churches. You know, this is a different day and age of what it used to be. When I was a kid growing up in the church, it was easy to put a sign out in the newspaper or put an ad in the newspaper and say, we're going to have a special services. And you know, people would come and they would get saved and their life would be turned around. Or they would be open to an invitation. But it's different. And somehow you and I are going to have to build bridges like Brett built a bridge with Paul to the Levites in our culture. Who are the Levites in our world? In your world, where you live, in your neighborhood. The people that aren't accepted, the people that maybe they just look down upon you. I was thinking earlier today about some of these kind of people. You know, there were some people when I was a kid growing up that they were snobs. At least that's how I would call them. And they never treated me very nice. And the easiest thing for me to do was to ignore them or to be snobbish back. But as I thought about that today, you know, those kind of kids were Levites. And they needed me to be Jesus to them. I failed. I didn't do a very good job of that when I was 13, 14, 15 years old. Choosing. I was also thinking about, you know, I'm not a great athlete, but I enjoyed sports and I was extremely competitive when I was a kid. And that's probably not gone away. I'm still pretty competitive, but I loved recess, and if I happened to be the captain, and you know, someone else would be the captain, and you know, we would choose teams, you know who was chosen first, right? The best player. You wanted that person on your team, and I was just thinking, you know, what would it have been? It was so important for me to win that I wanted to choose the best instead of the person that needed to be chosen, really chosen, because they didn't have any value in their life. What would have happened if I would have changed my choosing methods and chose the person that was the worst ball player first? I would have never won, but I sure would have impacted that person. Who are the Levites in your world? And how do we communicate with them? Like Brett to Paul, we got to enter into a relationship. It's not enough for us to put an ad in the newspaper or put a billboard up, and those are all great methods of communication. But somewhere along the line, folks, we have to build bridges to the Levites in our world. They're never going to really see Jesus in us if we don't love on them, if we don't build a bridge, if we don't get acquainted with them. And sometimes that's extremely hard. But we communicate with them by doing our best to love them and build a bridge. Who are the Levites in your world, and how are you going to communicate with them? Now, I have to admit, the next part bothers me. The next part bothers me. Because the church, when they saw what Jesus did, the Pharisees, that's the church in Jesus' day, they complained to Jesus' disciples. Why is Jesus eating with those tax collectors and sinners? And I just have to say to you, complaining is easy. It is almost a default response on us as humans. It's something that comes very easily for most of us. I have to work on it. It's easy for me to complain. I don't like that song. I wish they would do this. But you know, folks, complaining never gets us anywhere. And so I believe that the text today is saying to us, not only do we need to understand that the Levites in our world are important, and that we have to do our part to build a bridge with them, but you and I, the church, have to learn to speak good into the lives of people and not be complainers, because the reality is we really don't like complainers. We don't like them. We don't like to spend time with them. I mean, it's a downer to be around people who are complaining all the time. And so I challenge me, myself, and I challenge you, let's be a church known as people who are encouragers, who see the Levites in the midst of our world and who go out and love on them and build a bridge with them and take them to Jesus, who's a healer. Probably no one, the disciples that Jesus had just called, Peter, James, and John, he had just called them a few verses earlier. They probably were standing back over there with their arms crossed, watching Jesus talk to this tax collector, saying in their heart anyway, "What in the world is he doing?" But Jesus knew the potential and the possibility of a Matthew. He could see something beyond a Levi, and he could see a disciple that could be, that could help change the world. As district superintendent, I guess one of the opportunities I get to do is to travel around the district and try to challenge us as local churches to become all that God wants us to be. In my first district assembly, I said to, that was in the midst of COVID, so we really didn't have district assembly, but I said to the advisory board, we must be a district who cares. If I could do anything to help us, to help label us as a district, as a group of churches in Southern Illinois, I would want to be known as a group of churches who cared. Who cares about people, who cares about following after Christ. And I believe if we're going to be a church that cares, a district that cares, we must be first and foremost compassionate. Because Jesus looked at his crowd, looked at the crowd around him, and had eyes of compassion because he cared about them. And we must be compassionate people that sees the Levites in our world. People that are ungodly, people that are living in sin, people that are not churched people, and we must have compassion on them as Jesus had compassion. And if we are compassionate people, the only way that we're really going to be able to make a difference is if they see that we are authentic in our love for God. That our love for God is real. That it's not just an outward appearance, but that our heart is to love Jesus with all our soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. This last year, my challenge was, okay, now that we are compassionate people and that we are determined to be authentic, we then must allow the Holy Spirit to restore us. I mean, we're coming out of COVID, right? Our churches are discouraged. Our people are discouraged because we've never experienced this before. And my challenge to the district is that we allow Christ to restore us in a right relationship with Him. He calls us over and over. Probably, if we were to take the average, I don't know you, but I'm guessing that for the most part, most of you have been in the church for quite a while. If you were to tell your salvation story, it would go back several years, and that's great. That's wonderful. But how's it today? Is it still right with Him? And not only must we allow Him to restore our right relationship, that we must return to our first love for Him, we must also restore the emphasis of who we are as Nazarenes. We belong to the Church of the Nazarene. And the Church of the Nazarene has a distinctive doctrine, a biblical doctrine we believe that teaches that not only are we sinners and that we can find forgiveness of sin by confessing our sins, but as we grow in our faith, there comes a moment in our time, in our journey, where we realize the need to surrender ourselves, to consecrate ourselves to God and allow God to sanctify us completely, to change, to cleanse our heart of the inbred sin so that we desire with all of our heart to love on Jesus and to receive His love. We must, as Nazarenes, see that restoration of our emphasis on our distinctive doctrine. And then I believe He wants to restore community. There's actually been a lot of good things that have happened out of COVID. It's amazing how many times I'm in different settings and somebody will be talking and then they'll say something like, we started that in COVID and it's been really good. So there were some good things that came out of the circumstances. But one of the things that we lost, oftentimes in many of our churches, was the community because we were isolated from one another. And God is calling us as we see our world to restore community. And then I want to give you a quick glimpse into the future. Care. We are a district who cares. Compassionate. Authentic. Allowing God to restore. And this year I'm going to introduce to you the idea of engaging. How do we engage our culture? How do we engage the Levites and introduce them to Jesus who can heal their struggles? Who can forgive their sins and cleanse their hearts? We must learn to engage. So today, I ask you the question. Are you following Christ? Has He called you to be a disciple? Then if so, He's asking us to look for the Levites in our world. To learn how to communicate and bridge the gap so that we can connect them with them and teach them about Jesus. He's calling us not to be a group of complainers, but to be an encourager. To help them see the good that Christ can bring about. And He wants us to introduce Him, the healer, who came into the world not to save the righteous, but to bring healing to the sick. So my challenge to us today, let's look for Levi. Let's find some Levites. And let's go out and love on them and show them the love of Christ in such a way that they want to know Him as well. Let's pray. Father, here we are today. You have given us Your Word and the challenge of Your Word to look around us, to be aware of the people in our world. Father, as the longer I live in the church, the smaller my circle gets. And it's harder for me to see the Levites out there. And so I pray that You would open my eyes to my community, to my neighbors, to my co-workers, and see the opportunities and the potential. Even though my initial gut reaction might be, well, they're really not church material. But Father, You love every one of us. You love everyone in Your creation. And Your desire is that none of us should live in eternity without You. But You desire that all of us would come to know Your love and Your forgiveness. And that we would learn how to live this life in such a way that not only would it be pleasing to You, but that we would be beneficial to Your kingdom by building bridges to Levites in our world and introducing them to you, the healer. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me the privilege of speaking today. Amen.